and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Yeah, buddy.
Here we are.
Looking good. I was thinking about tonight, Dr. Drew and myself.
What?
Now, Drew, now what a lot of people don't know is, you know, I'm a pain in the ass. I'm a prima donna. But Drew probably has a little more diva in him than I do.
No. My thing is...
Yes?
When I,
yes? No?
When,
you say no?
When I go...
No? Do you think...
You let me...
You got a little more diva than I do.
When I'm pushed, and when I cross over, yeah, then forget it.
Right.
I'm not as easily pushed into Upsetville. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But when I'm there, absolutely.
Here's the difference, I think. I was giving it some thought tonight while I was skipping rope and breaking gas. And
nice.
It's always funny to beef while you're skipping rope, by the way. It's comical. It really makes anything comical.
You mean farting?
Yeah. It ends up coming out that way. It never comes up on while you're in the air.
Right.
It always goes on the landing. And you get a little cadence going. I recommend it. Keep a jump rope on you in case you get gas. It's funny.
Force of gravity.
But, right? You got your internal organs sliding down as you
hit.
Pushing
that gas down, yeah.
So I guess what it is I don't take things personally. I just get angry. I get angry at the garbage man. I don't think he has anything in it for me. I don't think he has it out for me. I'm angry at the garbage man. I was thinking of the way I go.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he has a vendetta against Adam Carolla.
No.
And I don't like to use myself in the third party that way. But I just mean, he's not coming after me.
Right.
I just wish he'd do his goddamn job.
Right.
But, Drew, you got a little more it's coming after you.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in a paranoid way.
Yeah. If it, yes.
I don't even think people know me, so I don't think it could be me.
Right.
I just wish he'd do his job.
Right.
Somehow I get woven into it, but it's not so much me.
Yes.
But what I'm referring to is Drew and I, we did the K-Rock Acoustic Christmas. This is the granddaddy of all these. This is the Rose Parade of all these local station concerts.
Right.
I mean, you're whatever affiliate you're listening to us on, unless it's K-Rock, the mother station out here, they've been doing these things for 4 years, 6 years, 7 years. K-Rock's been doing these things for 15 years.
Right.
I mean, this stuff goes way back. And all these other stations sort of model themselves, and they've done a good job in many cases. But it all got started out here on K-Rock, and Drew's been to many of these things. And one of the exciting things for these things is getting to go out in front of a big theater, big group, 10,000, 20,000 people, and bring a band on stage.
See, that's what you're wrong. That does zero for me.
Yeah, I know.
Zero.
I know. I mean, well, okay.
Zero. But it's the reason
I'm there. It's not exciting for me
either. It's the reason I'm there.
Exciting for us, actually, as I was saying it.
Okay, good. It should be exciting. It sounds like it would be exciting.
It should be exciting for us.
Yes.
It should be.
Right.
And I don't know why it's not, but it should be.
Right.
And there's nothing, there is, you do get adrenaline when you go out on a stage and there's 20,000 people out there.
It's fun.
No doubt about it, but it's not worth the drive, usually.
Right.
And I'm not, I don't want to be overly modest here, but I will vouch for Drew. Drew never wants to go to these things.
Right. Thank you.
And Drew, I think you'll vouch for me when I say that I do enjoy going to these things, but I don't need to go on stage.
No, and when they say you'll announce band at 7:30, the gate's open at 7, you'll announce band at 7:30, and think, yeah, good times.
Good.
Get out of there.
Yeah, I can get over with and I can get loaded.
Yeah, right.
Right. So, although I've been up there loaded quite a few times, doesn't hurt. But the point is the last few times Drew and I have done this, it seems that something goes wrong. They start turning the stage, the band starts playing, and we never get to announce the band. We end up just standing somewhere stupid and not necessarily on stage.
I think what you're also picking up, I don't like humiliation either. It's kind of humiliating. Kind of like, ugh.
It is kind of humiliating. Yeah. Yes, they put you out in the audience. The spotlight hits you. They hand you a microphone.
It doesn't work.
that doesn't work. You start to talk, and then the stage starts turning, and the band starts playing, and you just stand there like a jackass with maybe like a deer in the headlights. Yeah. And they always keep the spotlight on you for an extra 30 seconds, so you seem like an idiot when you're trying to just put your hand up and block it at this point because the band is now clearly into their set.
Yeah.
But Drew stormed off the stage like it was Whitney Houston. He stormed out of there. He goes, "How dare they?" And he was very upset. He was like, "I drove all the way out." He was like Winchester from Met. "I drove out here for this. Could have been here. I could have been there." Yo, please.
My thing was.
Your thing was.
I was supposed to be somewhere else.
Yeah.
I made a plea to not, because of what happened at the Weenie. I thought, I don't need to. It's just.
What happened at the Weenie Roast?
Same thing.
Oh. Where were we? Out in the audience?
We were standing on some bridge up there, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Man, nothing.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, you don't need me. It's so painful for me to go to these things.
I hand the mic off like it was a baton in a four-man relay and just head right for the bar. Just put my head down. I don't even care. Even stuff I like to do, if I don't have to do it, it falls in the heading of me not having to do it, which trumps it. So
yeah,
I was excited about not having to open my mouth, believe it or not. But
Drew, so I went out with Jed later.
Drew diva'd out, and then he went out on stage later on. Now, whose idea was it for you to go back on stage later on?
Producer Ann
thought of it. All right, that's good. And did you go out on stage?
No.
Out in the audience. Yeah. All right, but people mention your name, and you got a nice applause.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't even know.
Drew and I always go out first. We always bring up one of the first bands, too.
Yeah.
So slightly suspicious, but... We usually bring up bands while people are filing in and the house lights are still on. Jenny?
Yes.
You're 22?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I've been dating a guy for 5 years, and we broke up briefly, and then we're back together, but I really, really love him, but I find myself, like, really unphysically attracted to him. Like, we get ready to have sex, and I'm like, I touch his back, and I'm like, ugh. It just seems almost gross.
What's on his back?
Zits on his back? Or what's going on?
No. Well, yeah, that, and he's hairy. It's just, I don't
zits
know.
Zits and hair.
Zits and hair is a dynamite combo.
Well, see, I don't mind hair, okay? He's Italian, so, you know, he's got hair, and that's fine. But, like, I don't know, for some odd reason, it's just starting to bother me now.
Well, okay.
You're maybe not into him so
Either you're, like, depressed, or you're having one of those female imbalances, or you're sort of shutting down sexually, or you're just not into this guy.
Right. No, that's right.
You mean I'm not into him because I don't like his hair?
No, that you...
Yes.
That you idiot. Don't like him physically, you don't sort of love everything about him. You're just sort of picking him apart and repulsed in certain ways. That's not being into somebody.
This is what happens to women.
And
men don't really do this so much.
Not so much, no.
Men keep going. Sexually.
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
Well, you're hold on a second. See, men, if they're falling out of love, will usually just keep moving forward in the relationship sort of physically.
Yeah.
And they're not really mentally there anyway, so they're just sort of around. And then what happens is they start flirting with chicks at work and spending more time talking to chicks on the phone and the internet and that kind of stuff, that sort of stuff. But women, I've learned from this show, start sort of closing up shop a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Physically, they don't want the guy touching them.
It speaks volumes of how they're feeling.
Yeah.
You're not on medication, are you, Jenny?
No, I'm not. I'm in birth control. That's it.
And why have you been with this guy 5 years? Has it been kind of a tumultuous relationship, or has it been okay?
Well, actually, you know, we've broken up a couple times in the 5 years, but it hasn't been for, like, long periods, except this last time it was for, like, 6 months.
And when did you get back together again?
Excuse me?
When did you get back together again? How long ago?
Like a month ago.
Yeah. Yeah. You ain't into him.
You're not into this.
Not into him.
No.
No.
You're growing out of it.
You keep trying, but it's not working. And
you feel like you should be.
I got 5 years of my life wrapped up in this. 5 years invested. I'm not going to throw it all away.
Right.
Yeah. What? All right. So make it 10 years. And then throw it away.
Okay.
All right.
Good time.
Listen, that's purely exclusively a chick thought. That's why they don't do so well in business, the ladies. I got 10 years of this bad stock. I got 10 years of this bad job. I got 10 years of this bad idea. And I can't throw it away.
The thought should be, I shouldn't spend another minute as opposed to I've invested so much, I got to keep going.
Right. That's bad business.
Yeah, right.
Good business just cuts bait, moves on to the next project.
Take your losses and go.
Right, right. But bad businesses, I don't want to admit I made a mistake or there is a loss.
Right.
Bob?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
Okay, buddy. Thanks for calling.
Wow. All right.
All right. What's up?
All right. About a year ago, a buddy of mine and I, we were driving along, saw a school bus, and he mooned it, and we thought it was the funniest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. But the next day, I got called down to the office by the school resource officer, and he asked me, he goes, son, do you drive a Blue Geo Metro? And I said, yeah. And then he said, well, what happened yesterday? And they somehow they knew. And then he started, you know, he told me that it was a bus full of handicapped elementary school children. Mm-hmm. And then he tells me.
There's a punchline somewhere. Hold on, yeah, there's some kind of punchline.
I could actually hear him turning the pages.
Yeah, yeah, reading his thing. Reading his script.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Just read right off the script.
I'm not.
Come on, buddy. Give us the beats.
This happened a year ago. I'm in college now. This happened back in high school.
All right. It really this sounds fairly rehearsed, but go ahead.
This happened. For each count, there was like 20-some counts. It was $1,000 for each one, $1,000 fine, and 1 year in jail. And he asked me who did it, and I just sold out my friend. Like, as soon as he said 1 year in jail for each count, I said, pansy!
Yeah.
I'm not going to jail, and I don't know. Everyone says that, like, I was wrong in doing that, that I shouldn't have done that.
How many kids were in the bus? 23, did you say?
20-something. It was, like, a full busload.
So he's in jail for 20 years?
He's doing 20-something years.
Yeah, that would have been.
Good news is he'll be up for parole in 2011.
Well, they were just threatening us. I mean, nothing ever came of it, but me and my friend after that never talked again.
All right, well, you sold them out.
No, I mean, you were an accomplice. What are you going to do? You were sort of confessing to your own crime.
What were we doing, driving?
I was driving.
Who was the wheel man?
I don't understand why they made a distinction between you and him. You know, you were just admitting you were part of the crime.
There's wheel man and trigger man.
Drew,
you don't hear about the wheel man anymore.
No,
who's the wheel man?
He's that bad.
You know what else you don't hear about? This guy's one of the best second-story men in the business. There used to be second-story men and wheel men.
And whatever happened to cat burglars?
And cat burglars. Mm. Jesus, that'd be great if there was cat burglars now. White guys wearing black masks and creeping about.
Yeah.
Now it's home invasion. We rape your wife while you watch. Then we pistol whip you for a while. All right.
I think he was
that okay. A question?
I actually think he was okay he just admitted he was involved in a crime. He didn't think in terms of selling out his buddy so much, right?
Yeah. No, I think he sold his buddy out. Mia? Yeah. Maya? How do you say that?
Mia.
Mia, you're 21.
Yeah.
What's up?
Not much. Me and my husband have been married for about 4 years, and we were just, you know, really considering having a threesome. But
how old is your husband?
He's 22.
Mm-hmm. Married since you were 17?
Yeah.
Sounds 4.
Uh-uh.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we were just wondering, you know, if that would affect our relationship.
Why are you considering this? Who wants to do this?
We both do.
Why? What are you interested in? What are you expecting to get out of that?
I don't know. I'm just, attracted to girls, and he's obviously attracted to girls, and we've just really been considering.
Did something happen to you growing up that made it sort of, makes you sort of question your sexual identity or anything?
No. I could do with that. I used to work in a porn shop, maybe, but...
How old were you when that started?
11.
I worked there about 2 years ago.
Just worked there summers. Your uncle owned the place. 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
And be married at 17. That's kind of young, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
What was the rush to get out of the house?
Nothing, really. We got engaged, and then...
What was the rush?
Hold on, wait a minute. I tell you, we're the world's dumbest caller.
What was the rush to get out of the house?
Well, we got engaged.
Yeah, nothing really. We got engaged.
Well, I mean, they just do the math for you. It's like, I got married at 17. Why'd you get married at 17?
Because I got engaged.
Got engaged. You got to get married when you get engaged. Mia?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Drew's, we could gamble. We could gamble, yes. But I'm not hearing enough in her voice.
No, right.
I'm hearing something, but not enough. When did you lose? Let me ask the questions here, Drew. When did you lose your virginity?
Oh, gosh, like in eighth grade.
Okay, 13 or 12.
How old is that?
It was like 13. Mm-hmm.
Pretty serious.
Biological dad, do you know him?
I've met him maybe twice.
You guys have met?
Yeah.
And unique.
Two times.
Quaint.
And what about, you have a stepdad?
I have a stepdad, yes.
What's he like?
Yeah. Tell me about him.
He's just actually pretty much been my,
What was he like?
He was a good dad. He raised me since I was two, and he's really good dad, you know.
What'd he do? What'd he do for a living?
He worked for public service.
Aha!
Energy company.
How about your biological dad? Was he around at all when you were younger?
I guess when I was, like, up until I was a baby.
What was he like? What was he like?
I don't know him.
Does your mom talk to you about it at all? What was that?
Yeah, I guess he was just, you know, really abusive to her. And
all right, so maybe you witnessed some of that.
Oh, no. That was way before I was ever around.
Stepdad, good guy, though, huh?
Yeah, he was a good guy.
Not a drinker.
No.
Where's my bourbon?
I wonder why mom got away from the abusive guy and got in with a good guy.
Yeah, it doesn't quite fit.
It doesn't quite fit. Stepbrother?
No.
No. All right. Anyone get to you before the eighth grade?
No.
All right. No physical abuse, no sexual abuse.
No, not at all.
All right, but still. All right.
So what's going on? Okay. What's going on here? She's a little. A little abandonment with dad stuff, but that's fine.
Get out of the home. I still don't get that. Why are we?
Yeah, why so early at 17? Why get out of the house?
What was the hurry?
Well, we were, I guess you could say, high school sweethearts, and then a few months after we got engaged, I found out I was pregnant.
All right.
Yeah.
He's starting to, by the way, go ahead and.
Coming together.
Go ahead and throw that out to us right at the beginning. So you got pregnant, but you got married because you were pregnant.
No, not because I was pregnant.
All right. Well, listen, you would have gotten married at 17 anyway.
Right. Yeah, that was the plan. You know, he was going to finish. He's a year ahead of me, so he was.
So let me go back to asking the questions. What was the hurry? Why the hurry to get out of the house? Why the hurry to get married?
I think it just with. You know,
you understand you're contemplating doing something that can destroy your relationship. And we're trying to figure out why you would want to do that. What was the hurry to get married in the first place? That you hadn't really thought about it. That you hadn't explored things about yourself that now are surfacing of such a degree that they're potentially threatening your marriage.
How pregnant were you when you got married?
Oh, we waited to get married until after I had my son. So it was.
You're pregnant at 16?
No. I got pregnant at 17.
Uh-huh.
Well, how old was your mom?
You got married at 18?
Correct.
How old was your mom when she had you?
My mom, gosh, she was maybe 28.
And are you the only child?
No, I'm the baby.
She has a sister.
How old was
40s.
Your oldest sister?
My oldest sister, she's going to be 30 in January.
Okay, 30, so 10 years, so she was 18 when she had the first baby.
Yeah, the math always works, by the way, on this show. or we have Vi Anderson delete the call.
All right, so you can go ahead and tell us that that's your sort of family script, right? That people do in your family. They get married when they're 18.
Right.
All right, and then they get divorced when they're 20.
Well, they get the abusive guy first.
My mom, like, married and divorced my real dad twice.
Yeah, you're
twice.
Yeah.
Before you were born?
Correct.
Oh, because she got these other guys. She got older brothers and sisters.
But that's where the nice guy finally came in. She had to really work it through for 10 years.
Right.
Getting the abusive guy, getting him back. Finally, she learned a lesson.
Right.
Yeah, because at the beginning, whenever we see somebody, we assume they're either the, I don't know why, but we don't really think about it, but we assume they're the oldest child or the only child.
Yeah.
And I was curious why your mom went from abusive guy to real good guy. Yeah. In a matter of a couple of years, but it was a matter of 10 years.
10 years of going back and forth and finally fat.
So your oldest family member, oldest brother, sister's like 30-something.
My sister.
She's the stripper.
What's she do?
She teaches taekwondo and she is a substitute teacher.
Lesbian, huh? Yeah?
No, she's not.
All right.
She's engaged.
All right, baby. So listen, regarding the threesome.
Correct.
Probably going to screw things up. Sounds like you just want an excuse to experiment with a woman, right?
Well, it's also about the right timetable to end the first marriage, right?
Yeah.
It's the way she's on mom's script.
You getting kind of bored?
No. I just want to keep things interesting between my husband and I.
Yeah, this is more than interesting. This is chaos.
This is sabotage.
This is sabotage and chaos.
Okay.
You know what sabotage is?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is what it is. So you want to do that?
I plan to be with him, you know.
All right, then focus on the relationship. You got a child. Focus on the stability of that relationship, the intimacy, not on bringing stuff into the relationship.
How many kids do you have?
We have two now.
Oh, my God. How did you know that?
Well, of course you got to have another kid. She's pregnant at 17. Ripe old age of 21. All right, Mia, listen, no more kids.
That's it. You have two kids. Focus on that.
And focus on the goddamn kids, would you?
Okay.
Not your labia.
Or someone else's, more importantly.
Oh, yes, yes. All right. We spent way too much time on that call, but we get caught up. We get obsessive.
We have to prove
we just
we're right.
Know we're right all the time. Could not figure out why mom went to a nice guy after abusive guy. That didn't work. Yeah. There's a couple other things that didn't work. Why was she pregnant so young and her mom not pregnant so young? What got her out of the house? Part of it, too, is people don't cooperate with us sufficiently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we want to know what got you out of the house, and you just kept saying, I got engaged. People know where we're heading with these questions.
Or maybe they really don't. Maybe they just can't see it.
It's combos. Yeah. Combination.
All right.
Well, you got two kids. No screwing around. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right. Let's go to the phones. What names that look like to you?
Trajana?
Oh.
Yeah? Trajana?
Trajana?
Hi.
Is that how you say your name?
Yeah, Trajana.
What kind of name's that?
I don't know. My mom gave it to me.
Oh, just boy. Made it up?
Huh?
She just made it up?
No. It's my real birth name.
Oh, boy.
I know, but it's not. I know, but.
Did she just make the name up at the time of your birth?
I think so.
Just
she
made
was
it
an
up.
Ex-heroin addict, so.
Ex-heroin addict.
No, so you have no nationality that
no.
means anything of. All right.
Fair enough. What's up?
You're 17. What's up?
Yeah. Well, I was going out with a guy, and him and I were messing around like normal people do. Uh-huh. And I got on birth control because I didn't want to get pregnant because he already has a son.
Right.
And I caught a yeast infection, but I was still messing around with him. And my doctor said it could be because of my birth control.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that all fixed out.
And you don't really catch yeast infections.
Well,
you develop them. With the yeast that's already there, it just sort of overgrows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we broke up because his ex-girlfriend came back into the picture. She was pregnant by his kid and didn't tell us.
Her fault, that bitch.
Yeah.
Right? She was pregnant by his kid.
Yeah, his
not he
second
got,
kid.
Not he got her pregnant. She was pregnant by the kid.
Oh, sorry.
It's amazing.
I thought she just slipped up.
No,
I mean,
no.
She was pregnant by his kid?
Yeah, they were together for 7 years.
She means she was carrying his child.
Yes, she was carrying his second. She was 7 months along.
She was pregnant with his kid.
Right. But again, the thinking is that bitch. See,
right?
It's the kid and the woman's fault.
I just got confused with the buy his kid part.
Her and I are good friends.
All right.
Yeah.
How old is this guy?
Oh, 23.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Think how much destruction a male can wreak upon the world.
Yeah. All right. So.
Well, he got into trouble, and come to find out that he had hepatitis C.
What do you mean he got in trouble?
He had a warrant out and didn't tell anybody.
What does that have to do with hepatitis C?
Well, that's how we found out, because when the police came to the house, there was like a bunch of problems that happened. And there was some blood in the house and stuff like that. And we had to clean it up because a whole big mess happened.
Yeah.
And
sounds lovely for his kids, by the way.
Yeah. Well, the police informed us that him and his ex-girlfriend were both hepatitis C positive.
The police told you that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if there was any way I could have contracted it.
From cleaning up all the blood?
No, from having sex with him.
From having sex with him.
Yeah, because I had sex with him. Mm-hmm. Even.
Actually, you'd be more likely to get... No, neither way. No.
Really?
No.
How do you get that?
Well, there is a possibility.
Someone got to do to you.
I probably shouldn't be so categorical about it, but there is such a thing many people believe as sexually transmitted hepatitis C, but it's hard to get. It's more difficult than AIDS. and it's transmitted in the same manner as AIDS.
Jeez, AIDS got to step it up.
That's right.
Hepatitis C.
So you should be tested. There's a possibility. Did you have anal sex with him?
No.
All right, it's a possibility, but not likely.
All right. So your mom, how's she doing with the heroin?
She's been clean for 18 years.
Good.
Fascinating that she should get. He was a heroin addict too. Your buddy.
Yeah.
Who?
Your boyfriend was a heroin addict too, right?
Dope.
Well, how do you get the hepatitis C?
I don't know, honestly. Let me
fill in that gap for you. That's an IV drug thing. Okay.
All right. So you're not going to be with this guy anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. You have a new guy?
No.
Good. Don't get pregnant. Don't get on drugs. Stay in school.
All right.
And don't be too antisocial. It's going to be hard to get a job, all right?
No, I'm very, very, very social.
You good?
You're not no black fingernail polish, that kind of thing?
Oh no. I actually go to a school where they make us dress work-oriented.
So work-oriented?
It's like a continuation school?
I dropped out, and like this kind of got offered to me. It's like some school you go to all day, and you got to dress. We take vocational training.
Okay, what are you learning?
Computer skills, basically.
Good.
All right, keep going.
In my Microsoft Word.
Good. Whoops.
Here we go. Jen, 18.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
I just want to say that I respect you and Adam very much.
Great.
And I've been listening to the show for a very long time, and I watched it on MTV and all that.
Thanks.
And my question is, I was abused mentally, physically, and sexually by my father when I was very young.
Mm-hmm. And,
perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Well, I've gone through a lot of therapy, and...
What have you done exactly?
I've been on medication. Uh-huh. Because I have a self-mutilation problem,
mm-hmm.
that started when I was about 12.
Okay.
And it still goes on till this very day, and I'm, you know, constantly coping with it and constantly trying to, you know, stop this. But
okay. What else? What other therapies have you had?
I was doing some drugs for a little while. I'm cleaned up now.
Are you in a 12-step program?
No, I haven't gone. Well, I'm only 18, so I haven't really gone through that much, just mostly going in and out of mental institutions because of the cutting problem.
Mm.
But I'm not crazy, and I was on medication for about two or three years,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen a lot of psychiatrists, and so I was just wondering, like, this is going to end up being a problem with my love life because I can tell already that I'm developing unhealthy relationships with people, and I assume it's because of my history of abuse.
Yes.
And I was just wondering, like, is this going to happen? Because I've heard Adam's theory on this, and he's always saying that, you know, kids that grow up and were abused when they were younger most likely tend to get with people that are going to abuse them in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, people that don't get help.
Yeah.
Right.
But you got help.
Well, you've been getting help.
You've been getting help.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing process.
Do you have a borderline personality disorder?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and you know, that's a tough, chronic kind of a condition.
Mm-hmm.
And best suited with somebody working with you in therapy and maybe you in groups and with medication.
Yeah, I've done all three.
All right. But it's a long-term proposition. It's not like, okay, I did that, now I'm done. It's not like treating a pneumonia or something.
Right. Am I going to have to do this for the rest of my life?
For a long time. The good news about borderline disorders, they calm down as you get older.
Yeah, well, the medication actually helped.
I understand. It will help. And it literally is the residual of trauma. It sort of creates deficiencies in your abilities to regulate feelings. And people with borderlines feel chronically empty. And they have difficulty sort of seeing people as they really are in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you sort of project onto people a lot of bad feelings and then attack them for having those feelings when they say they may not even be having them, kind of feeling.
Right.
And the relationships are always intense and tumultuous, and it's sort of part of the syndrome. And you've got to get some help with helping make choices and containing some of that and dealing with these relationships as they come up. It sounds like you know, you have an awareness of this. You're following through on treatments. It's good. It can work out okay.
Well, and here's the other thing. Doing a little therapy and making it part of your routine is not a death sentence, everybody. It's actually sort of like I don't want to sound too trite about this analogy. I've made it before, but it's like saying, like doctor saying, well, you know, you want to stay in shape, you want to keep your joints good, you want to stay young, long, and be healthy and have good posture. You have to work out 3 days a week,
right.
And be like, well, for how long?
Yeah,
it's like, well, for the rest of your life.
In her case, she's got like a club foot. And they need some special work to, in order to make it happen.
Yeah, but it's ultimately...
It's in a long...
It's good
ongoing,
for you.
Yeah, it's an
it's
ongoing.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's in a way, somebody that had... Here's what I'm saying. Let's just move it to the realm of the physical.
Yeah.
If you had some sort of joint problem or some sort of physical abnormality at a young age, it was discovered and the doctor said, look, 3 times a week you have to go in for rehab, you have to do this aquatic therapy, you have to lift weights or what have you. Ultimately, you'd be better off than the guy decided not to do anything.
Yes.
And just going to hang out and watch TV and play Xbox.
That's true.
So it's good, and it's not a death sentence. It's not a bad thing. I had a little discovery this morning. I did the Howard Stern show this morning. And as you know, I go to bed at 1:30, usually slightly buzzed off of red wine.
Right.
And if I do his morning show, I get up at 3:30. And I'm, you know, Drew, I'm pretty good about getting out of bed when I set the alarm.
Yes.
But I was going on day number two of go to bed at this hour and get up at this hour. And apparently my little egg timer went off at 3:30. And I had... I had enough red wine in me, probably still at the time, just to roll over and smack the thing.
Oh, no.
And then I woke up, and it was about 4:15.
And you're on the air at 4?
Well, I'm supposed to be on the air at 4.
Yeah.
But, you know, life goes on.
Yeah.
No, I'm not carrying the show.
Hmm.
It's not like this show where I have to do everything.
Understood.
You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
Yeah. And so I looked at the clock. It said, like, 4:14. I did some quick math, realized... I'd overslept. It's a bad sign, by the way, when you go to bed at 1:30 and you look at the clock at 4:14 and you realize I'm dreadfully late for something. That's not a good sign. But I sprung out of bed now.
Yeah.
Now, the day before when I got up at 3:30, I got out of bed like I was Houdini in a straitjacket. Yeah. I rolled off it and then rolled across the floor cursing and then rolled downstairs, drank coffee. I never stopped cursing.
Like,
I never stopped complaining.
Snake man.
Yeah, I snaked downstairs, and I walked around for the next 5 hours with a puss on. This time, I was hit with an adrenaline surge.
Yeah.
My God, I'm going to miss my flight kind of thing. Pow!
Yeah.
I was immediately up, even though I'd slept for 2.5 hours.
Yes.
I was as conscious as I was going to be.
Yeah.
Pow! I was awake. Pow! I was sort of hustling. I was, you know, I was moving at double time, trying to phone in the dial up the equipment. I had the coffee preloaded, hit the switch, moving, slapping water on my face. It was completely awake for the entire show, as opposed to it feeling like I was comatose.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, dangerous but interesting strategy.
For every time.
Yeah, I don't know how you pull it off.
Yeah.
But I was not tired at all. Once I realized I was 45 minutes late for doing this national radio show, I sprung out of bed, and the whole idea of being tired was secondary.
Right.
It was all just sort of adrenaline.
Survival stuff kicks in, yeah.
Yeah, it was the difference between having to get up and shut some light off or take a leak in the middle of the night and hearing an intruder in the house.
Right.
It's like you don't drag out of bed if you think you hear an intruder in your house. It worked. It woke me up.
Interesting.
Yeah, I got to figure out a way to do this next time. So also, Drew, you'd enjoy this site, which is after the show finishes at now 7:30, 7:45 our time, me drinking a glass of red wine.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Trying to knock myself down from the 3 pots of coffee I drank throughout the course of the entire night.
Of course.
I'm becoming like Elvis, except for it's just coffee. It's like a coffee and red wine. Now drinking another glass of red wine, trying to knock myself down to
Did you
go
get
to
some
bed
more
sleep?
Did you?
Yeah, I slept from like 8 to 10.
All
right. I got up and went to work. Yeah, good time.
Good time.
Nothing wrong with that.
Huh.
Little regulation. Julie?
Yeah?
Nothing wrong with me regulating with a little red wine, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, we got a bad connection, baby.
Oh, can I give you a call back on my other line? Or will
Yeah, yeah. What are you talking to us on? Your cell phone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all the way home right now. But
you're at home. All right. Yeah. Hey, phone screeners.
Hey, Tara.
Bad cell phone. You got to tell them it's no good.
Unacceptable.
All right.
All right.
That's and that There you go, Drew.
Yeah.
That, by the way, is for every night. I know sometimes I don't make this part clear. I think they think it's
cell
just that one
not
call.
A good idea.
Yeah, I mean, if they're in their car, that's one thing. But if they're at home, try to get them on a landline. Elizabeth?
Hello?
You're 25?
Hello.
Wow, that is a nice connection. You sound good.
What's up?
What are you wearing? Let me hear
I don't want to say.
Are you hot?
Am I hot?
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think I'm hot.
That's good. That makes you hotter. Unless you're really not hot. I like what makes me hot is I'm hot, but I don't know it.
Okay.
That makes me hotter.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So you may be one of those people.
I might be.
Did you call for something other than harassment?
Yeah, I did. About a year ago, I started taking birth control pills.
Uh-huh.
And,
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. She's giving it up.
Periods are irregular. Go ahead.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, keep going.
Okay. And just recently, I went back to my gynecologist for my annual checkup.
Yeah.
And within that year, I started, developing spider veins.
Baby.
Not to gross you out.
Where are they spider veins?
Chest and neck, usually. Is that where they are?
What was that?
The spiders usually are on the chest, shoulders, and neck.
I have them on my legs.
Legs? Interesting.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So when I went to my gynecologist, I mentioned that, you know, I thought maybe it had to do with the birth control pill.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that it's a very rare side effect.
Mm-hmm.
That when you change...
You don't really mean spiders. You mean the little tiny purple things, right?
Little veins.
Little tiny purple ones.
What's the difference between spider veins?
Spiders are they literally look like a spider web with a red dot in the middle. And you push them and they blanch and then they fill from the center out.
We're not that bad.
You're talking about just little crazy little veins that come to the surface along your leg.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, that's probably not from the pills.
Okay. Well, anyway, so she prescribed the patch for me instead of pills because she says they had less estrogen in them.
Yeah, and that's, again, estrogens are what cause true spiders, but I don't know what, you know.
Well, and...
Where's that go? Does that go over your eye or does it go on your arm? Or
you wear
that
an eye patch. It's called an eye patch, yeah. It's a new style, yeah.
Why not? If you wait, let me ask you, Drew. If you had, and I don't see this enough, by the way, anymore, people that wear an eye patch.
Yeah.
You know what people wear now? They wear that bad beige flesh-toned stick-on eye patch, people that need an eye patch.
Right.
Very unattractive.
Yeah, you want
like the black pirate, you know, Barclay man. You know, I like the one that looks good in a white dinner jacket.
It's like number two.
Yeah. Yeah, from Austin Powers.
Right, number two.
Yeah, I like an eye patch. Like I don't want one of those stick-on, big Band-Aid funky ones. I like a nice black one.
It's a statement.
Yeah, if you need one. Yeah. But also, Drew, if you had a woman or man who needed any kind of patch, when I'm in charge...
Why not deliver medication
I will.
It?
This is my decree.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You may get a nicotine patch, or you may get an estrogen patch, or birth control patch. But if you are a person who currently wears an eye patch, it must be woven into that patch.
Law,
one patch
law.
Per person. It is a law from this day forth.
Okay.
Elizabeth?
What's the question about the patch?
You wear an eye patch?
No.
Okay, so you wouldn't have to do that.
What's the question about the patch?
Well, basically, I just wanted to know if you honestly, because I really don't know that much about the patch.
They're excellent. They're very good. They're fine.
My doctor didn't seem to, and I was just wondering if...
They're very good. Just don't forget to change it.
Okay. Do you think it honestly will reduce the spider veins, or are they something I'm going to
What
have?
Pill were you on before?
Why don't you put them over the spider veins?
What pill were you on before? It's against the law.
Estrostat.
Huh? Estrostat. And
my law,
And the patch. Which patch are you on?
I don't even know what it's called now. I'm going to start it on Sunday.
Okay. And,
But she said it's still like the lowest dose of estrogen.
All right. How much do you weigh?
I'm 125.
A new one.
The estrogens are the things associated with the vascular changes. So, yeah, that should help. And the patches are fine. They're safe and they're effective. So,
I need some red wine, Drew.
All right, let's go.
I'm hitting a wall here. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a little break when we come back. Who are we going to speak to, Drew? Speak to Megan?
Yeah.
14? Bites herself?
Mm.
Sometimes boyfriend bites her?
No, she bites herself.
Sometimes.
Because.
Oh, because. Oh, that B/C is because.
Yeah.
How long has that been going on? I never noticed that?
No, just now.
Oh, okay, good. Because sometimes I can have a tumor. Or we'll be back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Oh, yeah. 50,000 watt flamethrower, kiddies. Woo. Tell you what. Use this mic. It's like a weapon in my hands.
Don't scare me.
All right. Drew's viciously going at something that's stuck in his mouth.
Driving me crazy.
He had a little floss, but that didn't work during the break. Drew, don't use the paper clip.
No?
No.
It's working.
Drew won a toothpick and tar game of paper clip.
That's what
we don't have one. We don't have one. Yeah, we don't have one. But
she's flipping out because you called her tarred.
I'm a Tara. All right.
I know. But
look,
it's going to
happen. It's going to happen all the time. But look, here's what you need to do. You need to get a cap from a ballpoint pen,
uh-huh.
One of those big kind,
oh, yeah.
Kind of come to a point. They're uh-huh. plastic. That's almost like a. Trudeau, it hurts me to see you put metallic things in your mouth that way. But again, you know my thing with the dentist instruments. Got to make the handles out of plastic.
Yeah.
I got to do some time on the dentist one of these days.
Huh.
Megan.
Yeah.
You're 14.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well. I have been biting myself, and I didn't really realize it until tonight. I was talking to my friend about it, and she told me she's noticed it.
Noticed that you're making marks or something? Or
noticed that I've just been biting myself, and she says I usually do it when I'm, like, mad or sad or something. And the other night
Where do you bite yourself?
Just, like, on my arms and stuff.
Uh-huh. Never on the back of the neck?
No.
Okay.
And, like, she said that she noticed it and stuff. And last night was, like, I noticed that I actually did. I didn't even know that I was doing it until last night I started doing it. And it, like, hurt. But it has, like, it feels good.
Right. It's a sort of release of tension, isn't it?
Yeah. It feels good after I'm done.
Do you draw blood?
No. I've never done that. It leaves, like, welts.
Uh-huh.
Well, this is one of the many behaviors that people manifest that are associated with what's called self-mutilation. People hurt themselves in an attempt to manage overwhelming psychological pain.
Uh-huh.
And that's what you're doing.
Drew got a plastic fork to pick at his mouth now, by the way. And he hurt himself trying to knock one of the prongs off. Yeah, he's doing, speaking of self-mutilation, Drew has got a paper clip in his mouth now, it's a plastic fork, and he's trying to shove it up through his palate and into his brain.
My God.
That's how I kill a man.
Mm.
Yeah. So, Megan.
Yeah?
Maybe a little therapy, huh?
Yeah, it speaks of severe psychological pain, Megan, that there's really something going on.
Well, I've gone to a psychiatrist, and she said I had depression, and I've been taking medicine for it.
What are you taking?
Some Paxil thing.
All right, but
or
you
Prozac,
need
to... Prozac.
All right.
Prozac.
Sometimes Prozac makes these kinds of symptoms a little worse. They're not so much mutilation, but self-harm issues.
Mm-hmm.
So you do need to tell your doctor about this.
I'm going to get that medication adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
You get that thing out of your mouth?
Yeah, like I did. But still, now I've got the ba-boom, ba-boom swelling and pulsating.
You need a Swiss Army knife.
Mm.
They got a toothpick built into that
thing.
That's
right.
It's a nice item. Probably the least used of the Swiss Army. That's what I'd like to find out.
The tweezers and the toothpick?
Yeah. What is the least used of the Swiss Army utensils on the knife? I imagine a toothpick actually probably gets a little more work than maybe the nail file?
Yeah.
Do guys file their nails?
No.
Why do women have to file their nails so often? I've gone my whole life without filing my nails.
Their nails stick above the finger.
Well, then,
we just clip them down below the finger.
But what do they do? Do they keep them smooth?
Mm-hmm.
Something round them over? They break
so they
the edge?
Yes, they don't keep sort of catching on things.
Krista?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, I want a male point of view on this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually curious as to whether my boyfriend really has an engagement ring or not. He is supposed to be leaving for Florida on Friday.
What's he doing in Florida?
Yeah.
What's he doing in Florida?
Well, he got offered a better job, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he just found out that he's moving tomorrow, that he's going to be going. Mm-hmm. Now, he told me, instead of it being an engagement ring, that he's changing it to a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay, and I'll give it to you on Thursday since I'm not going to be here for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I said, okay.
That's called a parting gift.
Yeah.
That's what they give you when you lose on the game show.
No, it's like a promise ring.
All right.
I'll be good, even though we'll be apart. And
yeah,
you,
yeah.
More importantly, it's got radar on it, so you better be good.
I promise not to get engaged to you.
Right.
That's what that is.
It's not an engagement ring, though.
Okay, well, then he finds out that he's leaving tomorrow, and he just all out says, oh, never mind, never mind. I have the ring, but I'm not going to give it to you.
Sort of a dick thing to do.
I'm kind of curious. Is he, like, just messing with me, or what's he doing?
All right, hold on. Yeah, we got to take a break.
All right.
But we'll be back to pick this guy apart. And I think people listen to the show know where we may lean on this one. Going to Florida. She's in Pennsylvania.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back.
All right. Loveline, fastest growing radio station, North America. Oh, yeah. Who says I can't do that? Wait till you guys hear those crank yankers when I'm talking like Snoop. It's pathetic. You think this was bad? Oh, yeah, here he is. Now, Adam always prides himself in not emitting smells. You know, he sweats, he doesn't smell.
Snoop Doggy Doggy, Dr. Drew was at your door.
I'm in the hizzle for chisel. Adam's in the hizzle for chisel.
Hizzle for chisel, dizzle.
That's right.
Oh.
And Adam asked me to look something on the internet. Standing close by, impressed me with a little gas. And I almost puked.
Yeah, that was bad. I got something churning
and
in me, Drew.
I've never seen him turn and run for the John.
Yeah.
I've never seen you do that.
It was a jog.
No, here, here's what it was. Cover for me, man.
It was a jaunt.
I'm going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I got to go.
Yeah, it was more than a scamper.
Everything okay?
Round one went fine, but... I'm waiting for the bell. You know what I mean?
Adam, that was an impressive display of
I let something go. I've had something brewing all day. I don't know. I think it's a red wine.
I don't know quite how to describe it.
Yeah.
If you remember, I was pounding the table before I got the full punch.
And, you know, let me tell you something about Drew. Drew's a tough guy because of his medical background and because of his triplets. It's really hard to offend him.
No, I have any olfactory sense left. But when you get through.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's impressive.
Thank you. Yeah,
well,
thank you.
Good time.
You kids may want to stay away from that John, too, by the way.
Or if you'd like to witness, it's sort of bearing witness. It's almost...
Yeah,
it's almost sort of something you have to pay. You know, have to go experience. It's like jumping off bungee jumping or something.
Yeah, but it's like bungee jumping with no bungee cord.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I think it's more of that.
No payoff.
Krista.
Yes.
All right.
21.
So, no. This is the guy. Gave her the ring. Didn't give her the ring. Left to Florida.
Turn down whatever you got in the background.
How long you guys been boyfriend girlfriend?
Almost a year. I've known him a lot longer. But
can you turn off the?
Sure.
Yeah, the
big brother. I should have mentioned that at the beginning of the call. Krista?
Yes.
Okay, so he gave you this. First, he said he was going to give you an engagement ring. Then he downgraded it to a sort of a gift ring because he was leaving for Florida.
He didn't leave yet.
And what is this business that he has to leave suddenly?
Because he was leaving for Florida.
Yes. Right. And then he had to go quicker?
Yeah, he found out he has to leave tomorrow.
And then he said, "Forget the ring altogether."
Yeah, I'm just questioning whether he really has one because he's like, I don't know, he's lied to me before.
All right. Well,
I heard in the background again. So now
I'm not sure that was us.
No, it sounded like my nasally drone. All right, listen, Krista. Here's the deal. I asked you to turn the radio down a couple times. You didn't do it. Don't care.
But here's the
no, don't care. Scott?
Yeah.
16?
Yep.
What's up?
I'm actually dealing with a sexual harassment case. Last year, I asked this girl in my biology class if she shaved her pubic area. Mm-hmm. She filed harassment on me, and so did some other girl who I didn't know. And I got two charges of sexual harassment, and the police got involved, and they just decided to start dealing with it last mm-hmm. month. And
I don't believe you said that!
And how long was it from the comment?
A year?
Well, no, not like a year. It was like second semester.
Just how long?
Last quarter, and I got suspended for 2 months.
Two?
Okay, how long has it been, please, since the comment?
I don't know.
Okay. You don't know?
But that's symptomatic of a bigger problem here, don't you think? He's going to say, the reason I was suspended was I made this casual comment, when already we're getting the feeling that there's a bigger
okay
thing.
Scott.
Here.
Yeah.
You need to tell me approximately how many months ago you made the comment, or I'm going to hang up on you.
Okay, approximately 6 months.
Ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you got suspended, and there was another girl who you don't even know, who you never made any comment to, who also filed for a sexual harassment suit against you.
Yeah.
Now, why would she do something like this if you never spoke to her?
I don't know.
Why would you be suspended for 2 months on a suspicion of something if you were an upstanding sort?
I have no idea. I think, it's like, I got suspended until further notice. I had to go see two psychiatrists. I had to do two psychiatric evaluations for each of those guys. And, like, it was basically I had to revolve around their schedule. And if they didn't have time to do it.
Listen, Scott, you're a pain in the ass. And you're a troublemaker.
Of course.
It's not all about this. It's a collection of things.
Right? This is like, why'd you go to jail for 8 years for stealing an Abba Zaba?
Breaking probation.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. You've gotten into trouble more than once.
Yeah, I have.
All right, all the time. You're a troublemaker.
Yeah, this is just one.
I'm not a troublemaker.
Yes, you are a troublemaker.
Scott, we can tell in three, you know, 30 seconds.
I can tell you're a troublemaker. So what's up? Why are you a troublemaker?
Somebody beat on you when you were growing up or something?
Oh, actually, I did suffer from physical abuse when I was like a little child.
Yeah, I mean, you can sort of feel that already.
Yeah.
The world is constantly still beating on you, even though, you know, the fact that a doctor has doctor's hours and has to see other patients, that puts you off. You're already being abused. You perceive that as abuse.
Okay, so what's up? How are we going to get you to not be a troublemaker?
I just want to know if...
We're not going to be able to do that.
I should have to worry about being registered as a sex offender.
I don't know all the... I mean, listen, to hear you say it, you made some sort of blue offhanded comment. They suspended you for 2 months and made you see a bunch of shrinks and do a battery of tests. We know that's not true.
No,
we know that there's a history of antisocial behavior on your part.
Right.
That you're not. That you're not.
You're not copping to.
You're not copping to. And this is why they suspended you for 2 months or until further notice.
Would you like to hear the other troubles I've been in?
Sure.
Okay. I got caught smoking pot last year, the beginning of the year, and I went into a depression, and I tried to kill myself, and I had to go to a bunch of other doctors and whatever else, and I had been getting in trouble that year.
All right, well, here's the question, Scott. I mean, and I don't know, like I said, I'm not a lawyer. I would kill myself if I was, or actually Drew would beat me to death with his coffee mug if he found out I was an attorney. And I don't know the law, and I don't know your case, but I do know that because somebody beat on you for a while when you were younger, that there's going to be a long life of getting into trouble and getting sort of victimized by the man and the system and all that kind of stuff. And it's, now would be a good place to look into it and see if you could get out of that syndrome so you could enjoy your life, get a good job, have a family and friends, and not go to jail. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
start containing impulses, start taking directions, start not feeling as though everybody that is trying to help you is trying to abuse you. It's not the case.
It's gonna be tough, but you have to sort of throw yourself on the mercy of society a little bit here, Scott, and let yourself be helped. I don't know what the exact answer is, but you're going to keep getting into trouble. And you can prevent it, but if you make it someone else's fault all the time,
you can't prevent it.
Then you can't prevent it, because what is there to prevent? Everyone's doing things to you.
Yeah, how can you change that?
You're getting suspended for no reason. You're having to go to doctors for no reason. Everything's for no reason.
No, when, I was suspended for a reason, but I think that I was, you know, withheld or whatever. I wasn't allowed to come back to school.
Well, that's because you have a history of being a troublemaker.
And you have to assume that people are making rational decisions about you and take direction from them and do what you need to do to get back on track.
All right, so what should he do, Drew?
As far as what?
I don't know. Do some therapy?
I think.
Find Jesus Christ?
You know, when people are really ready for change, they sort of throw themselves on the mercy of people that are out there to help. And whether it's your teachers or the doctors that have been seeing you, just say, you know what, I'm contemplating changing, and I want to know what I need to do.
All right. And this is why I hate these parents that beat on their kids, because then they create the problem for the rest of us to deal with for the rest of our lives or the rest of their kids' lives.
What did God have in mind when he made the rest of our lives so dependent on everything that happens early?
First,
what was the plan?
5 years.
And disproportionately, everything else is affected by the first 10 years.
I don't know what kind of a harebrained scheme God had. He does have a sense of humor. Maybe he's just screwing around with us. He's quite a cut-up, that guy. Julie?
Hi.
You're 16?
Yes.
What's up?
I've been having a lot of trouble with my boyfriend right now, and I'm really worried about our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since probably about for the past week now, he hasn't been really responding to my phone calls, and it just doesn't feel like he cares anymore. And, you know, I've tried to get in contact with him a couple times, and he'd say that he'd call me back, and he never does.
Mm-mm.
Well, he doesn't care anymore.
Yeah, and he makes up all these excuses, and he blames other people. Like,
he's pushing you away.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, well, so-and-so didn't wake me up to call you.
Julie, stop. He's pushing, he's pushing you away.
To call you.
He doesn't care. You're right. He's pushing you away.
But, you know, we've...
Forget how he does it. Let that in. That's what he's doing.
But the thing is, like, we've almost been in a relationship for, like...
You had been. You had been. Now he's trying to end it. He doesn't know how.
How long had it almost been?
Almost 3 months tomorrow.
Oh. I thought you were going to say, like, 2 years.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it's his first serious relationship, and it's my first serious relationship.
All right. Well, it won't be your last.
And you'll understand these cues better as the time goes along, but...
Well, do you think if I said something to him to give him the hint that it would be easier, or do you think that...
What was the hint you want to give him?
How are you going to get to him?
Just to tell him that I'm not going to... Well, I saw him tonight, and I told him that we needed to talk, and he said that we'd talk later, and then he just said that he had other stuff he had to do.
He's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing.
He's squirrely. It's his first relationship. How old is he?
He's 17.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's squirrely. Well, he's not man enough to step up and tell you what's really going on.
Well, see, the thing is, he's been in a lot of relationships, but he, like he'd said before, that he hadn't really cared about anyone like how he cared about me.
Well, that may be BS. That may have been BS.
Could have been.
Yeah, or whether it's true or BS, he is not handling this in a mature and respectful way.
Yeah, and I feel like he's just been rude. I mean,
did you have sex with this guy? Yes, and then when he had sex, suddenly he wasn't interested anymore?
No, not even. It's been a long time since that's happened. That's not how we base our relationship.
No, right. I know in your head that's not how you base it, but he is...
Oh, Drew, don't project just because you're a passionate, passionate man.
This guy's done, right?
Yes.
He doesn't even seem to be romantic, to have to show compassion.
He's a 7-year-old guy.
Julie, here's the deal. He's done with the relationship. And unfortunately, you feel, and I've been in this position too, and Drew, I don't know if you've been in this one. I know you've been dumped. I know you've dumped. I know you've been all over the place. But I don't know. You walk away with a feeling, it's very unsatisfying.
Yes.
You say, I, I, I can't believe we have this time invested. I can't believe this person said the things they said to me.
And now nothing.
And now nothing?
Yeah.
Like, don't I deserve a sit-down, a conversation, well, the respect, the blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
the closure and stuff, but even more than that, your brain can't do it. How can you go from making me feel like this is a love attachment nothing so fast? It doesn't. Your brain can't process that.
But 90% of it is you being hurt. Now, people say, look, if it's over, it's over. I don't care. But all I want is the truth. But it's not really that. It's the other way around.
But we've talked about it, and I say, you know what? I think there are some problems going on here, and I'm not really happy. You know, what do you think about this? And he says, well, I think things are going fine. I'm perfectly happy in this relationship.
Okay, I'll tell you what this is like. This is like a job where all of a sudden you stop getting paid, and the person says, oh, no, you know, we're perfectly happy with you. The company's going great.
Yeah.
And you're like, where's my money? And they're like, oh, don't worry about it.
Your office space.
Well, here's the thing. After a few weeks of not getting paid, you got to stop showing up for work, no matter what the boss says.
Yeah, I don't know what they tell you.
Yeah.
But the only thing is that I care about him so much.
I know. This is what we're talking about.
To the disconnection now.
How all right.
Get unattached.
Julie, painful time. My heart goes out for you.
But important lessons to be learned.
Yes, and we've all been there, and it's all part of growing, and this is it. That's it.
This is one you will look back and go, oh, my God, I was so stupid. How did I not see this? What was I doing with that
Don't
guy?
Call him.
Let it go.
Let it go. Throw yourself on the mercy of your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You need friends. This is why people need friends.
We'll go out with him, by the way.
Who are probably currently performing oral on him as we speak. Damien?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yes, sir.
Think we're having some phone difficulties.
Are you there?
Yeah.
No, right. I can't hear him.
Can't hear him, sorry. We'll go to Chris, who's 25. Chris?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up?
I have a girlfriend, right, and I'm cheating on her with her best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also cheating on her best friend with her best friend.
Hold on, let me get this straight.
Okay.
You're cheating on your girlfriend with her best friend.
Yeah.
And you're also having sex with the girl you're cheating with's best friend.
Yeah, correct.
Who is not a friend of your girlfriend's?
Well, they know each other, but, you know, they don't know that I'm with her.
No, I know they don't know you're with her, but what I'm saying is usually your friend's best friend will be a good friend of yours, too. You just kind of do the math.
Or be reciprocal.
Yeah,
the best friend of the best friend would be your girlfriend.
Right.
We need that Chad kid on the line here. He could answer that for me if I'm going to go to hell or not, right?
You must be listening to last night's show or something.
Yeah.
Or an earlier show.
I don't remember Chad.
Yeah.
You don't remember Chad? Chad was the guy that, he was all religious.
Yeah, probably from the other night or something. But anyway, Chris.
Yeah.
You sound like a delight. I can see why these ladies are attracted to you. I'm wondering what's going on with them. What do? We swing a hammer?
What?
For
a living.
No, I say you sell something.
What do you mean I sell
something? What do you do for a living?
Oh, I'm a contractor.
Yeah. All right. There you go. You swing a hammer?
I swing a hammer.
All right. Well, there you go. What kind of contracting work you do?
Pretty much anything. Electric work and carpentry work, mainly.
All righty. And it's got to be tough. You're calling from Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Tough during the winters, huh?
Yeah, it really sucks.
Yeah, tough to keep working. All right, so are you using protection?
With the one girl.
Oh, well, then that's all you need to worry about.
Yeah, that's one out of three.
What about the other two?
No.
Now, are you scared you're going to get someone pregnant?
No, I don't think I will.
How do you not do that?
I don't know.
Hold on a second.
Whoa. I want this guy working on my house.
Okay, but do you understand why working construction was torture for me?
Yeah.
I'm surrounded by... Here's my choice. Here's my choice. Eight guys like Chris.
I'll go to Hawaii.
Yay! Eight guys like Chris and five El Salvadorian dudes who couldn't speak a lick of English. That was my choice.
You had the entertainment of the guys speaking various tongues and things there, right?
Just sitting on a pile of drywall. I'm nailing my girlfriend. I'm nailing her best friend and her best friend's best friend, dude. Except for I got the kid this weekend. I was going to the lake, but now I got the kid. So I'm thinking only screwing one of the chicks. Because, you know, I don't need the kid eyeballing me while I'm screwing all of them. Yeah, this was every conversation I had. And then here's the big talk. The kid needs braces, but that's $1,800. And I want to get a new Kirker pipe for the jet ski. So I'm kind of torn. I'm going to do some soul searching over the weekend. Then you see the guy on Monday. Yeah, I went with the Kirker pipe and also had enough for a rejet kit for the carb, too. Chris?
Yeah.
All right, so why don't you break up with your girlfriend? Doesn't seem like you like her that much.
Right.
I think we're going to. She just showed up here. She's my next door neighbor, too, also.
That's all right.
My main girlfriend.
Good. She.
Your main girlfriend? You have more than one?
All right. Did she? Is this bogus or did she bust you?
Huh? I'm busted.
Put her on the phone.
Here, they want to talk to you.
Who?
Who?
Hello?
Hello?
You're on the radio.
I am?
Yeah. What's your name?
Oh, my God. I am not on the radio. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They're putting on a pretty good act.
Yeah.
Jamie.
Mm-hmm. Your name's Jamie?
Yes.
Now, how do you know Chris?
He lives right next door to me, actually.
Yeah. How else do you know him?
And we've been together for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you hear him talking on the radio?
No, I can hear it through the walls. He keeps forgetting this.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear what he was talking about?
Something about my girlfriend's best friend and then her best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Which he's probably talking about Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
What's he doing with Michelle?
Well, I don't know. I'm gonna ask him pretty soon.
Uh-huh.
You like this guy?
Huh?
You like this guy?
Do I like this guy?
Do you like this guy?
Well, I was in love with this guy.
You were?
Yeah. He got everything from me.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
What's everything? Anal?
No, not anal.
I see. You guys don't have any kids together, do you?
No, we don't. No, I have no children.
Really?
What do you guys use for birth control?
Who, me?
You and he.
I can't have kids.
Why?
Oh, hold on a second. I didn't say it, but I knew.
There's a reason.
When she said, I don't have any kids, she had a hysterectomy. She had something. Grenade went off in her lap. Something happened. Why? How do you know you can't have kids?
Well, I've been through 10 different specialists. I used to be on that shot, that depo shot.
Yeah.
And I was on it for like 4 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So after a while of being on it, they said that messed up my insides pretty bad.
No, that's not true.
They didn't say
that. Does not happen.
They said that my uterus was all messed up, basically.
Yeah, from the shot.
No?
That does not happen.
No. Otherwise, you'd have a nice big fat lawsuit,
that's
wouldn't
right.
you?
Well, after a year, they're supposed to switch you onto a...
No, that's not true.
A pill or something.
No, that is not true, Chris.
No?
Or whatever name. What's
See?
Her name?
I've been lied to.
Jamie?
Jamie, yeah.
Jamie, yeah.
Hey, Jamie, do you have another line that Chris could pick up on? Or
yes,
does Chris
yes,
have
I
another?
Do.
All right, why don't you tell Chris to pick up the phone?
Pick up the phone.
You have another line. I thought this was Chris's house.
I'm in his house right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just managed another one handy. Chris?
Yeah?
All right, so now Jamie's on the phone, and she heard you talking through the wall.
They're very thin.
Chris, as a contractor, you got to know that 2x4 stud wall in between, there's not a true 2x4.
I know that.
You know, it's 3.5, and there's probably no insulation in there either.
5/8, and it should be insulated.
Yeah, and it's got just some half-inch sheetrock on there. That's not enough to keep that booming voice of yours from penetrating Jamie's abode.
No, you're not. You sound pretty loud.
All right, so what did you hear, Jamie?
Well, see, all I basically heard before I was coming over was that, my main girlfriend here... I'm cheating on my girlfriend with her best friend, and I'm cheating on her best friend with her best friend. So my best friend is Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that Michelle's best friend he's talking about is Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right, Chris? Because you're already caught, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not funny. Wait.
We have a foursome.
Wait. It's not funny.
All right. Now, is this bogus now, or are you guys just high?
I'm seriously busted, man.
Really?
See, I don't see why he had to do this.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on. Jamie, why aren't you freaking out?
I really am, but he put me on the phone with a radio station, so after I'm off the phone, I am. Because there's only one reason I don't want to speak to the radio.
Yeah, well, that's all right. It's entertaining. But well, there's only one reason what.
Okay, he knew that I'm bisexual, like, when he first met me.
Uh-huh.
I told him if he wanted to experience anything,
mm-hmm.
that all he had to do was ask me and, like, talk to me about it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Just not go behind my back because
right.
I've been cheated on before.
Shocking.
So any okay. cheating needs to be done in front of you.
Huh?
Well, you want to be present. Well, now, what about a little threesome with your friend Michelle?
Foursome.
Well, we can work toward that, Chris, in a few minutes. I'm still trying to nail down the threesome.
Like, I'm going to get Michelle for this, too.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, don't shoot or stab anybody.
Oh,
and,
no.
And no domestic disputes. I don't want the cops showing up at your place or anything like
she's
that, right?
I don't want to get off the phone now because she's...
I'm not a very big woman. I'm only 4'10".
Woo.
Okay. Wow.
And I'm about, like, 105 pounds.
Nice.
When he says I could beat the crap out of him...
Yeah, well...
Maybe I can, but...
Okay.
I'm not gonna...
All right, well, listen. Chris?
Yeah?
You got your work cut out for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good evening.
I didn't expect it this fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what can I tell you? Keep your bags dry.
Well, we told him to break. We told him to break up with Lynn. What's her name now? I forget.
Jamie.
We told him to break up with her.
Yes, break up with her.
Yeah, she's bisexual. She's not clear what she wants. She's putting up with all this chaos.
She's been cheated on quite a bit in the past.
Yeah. Oh, chose another good boy. One with Chris. He doesn't really care about her. He's cheating with her best friend. It's like time for this okay. one to end.
You'd love to meet Jamie's dad, wouldn't you?
Oh,
I bet he's a delight.
I wonder if Jamie's ever met Jamie's dad.
Good question. Yeah. All right, we'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, Drew, what do you got there?
There we go. Now, listen, this Rick isn't claiming to be the guy from going to Florida, is he, Tara? No, well, here we go.
Let's talk to Rick, who's 34. Rick?
Hey, how you guys doing? No, I'm definitely not the one going to Florida, but
okay.
It brought up pretty much the same subject on the opposite end.
Uh-huh.
I was kind of given an ultimatum.
Have you ever called this show before?
Yes, I have once.
I recognize his voice.
You
Isn't
do?
That weird?
Yeah.
That's bizarre. He's got a distinctive quality to his voice, you know that?
Drew's crazy intuitive and has zero intuition at the same time.
Hopefully I don't fit into the stereotype of contractors with you.
No, but you
I
are,
am one.
You are a contractor.
Yeah, plumbing contractor.
Yeah, good time.
But I do quite well, and I,
sure.
you know, I like to enjoy life. Anyways, long story short, I've been going out for a year and a half. My girlfriend is, you know, wanted to get married. I just don't see myself settling down, you know, right away. But she gave me an ultimatum that fell when I was actually going to be in Thailand.
How long have you been with
on
her?
A sex tour?
No, actually, we had a group of 52. I was actually the tour guide. You know,
oh, wow.
getting the people from L.A. to Thailand and back. And
are you
sure.
are you Thai?
No, but I've done it for about 14 years. Not just Thailand, but adventure travel.
They just said you're a contractor.
Exactly. I've been a contractor for, since I was 18, as far as a plumber and contractor, you know, for the last nine years.
How long have you been with this girl?
A year and a half. May was, you know, 1 year. So
are you living with her?
No, I'm not. That's one of the things. She still lives with her mom. She's
all right, hold on.
27.
And you said you don't want to settle down. You're 34. When do you plan to settle down?
Well, that's the whole thing. I don't know. The issue is she's in love with me, and I do love her a lot, but I just don't know if I want to, you know, stop and have children. She's,
what is the deal with her living at home at 27?
Good question. I don't know. She, you know, she comes from a pretty well-to-do family. I guess she just doesn't see a need to move out, and the parents don't charge her any rent. And, you know, she's happy with where she's at. She's actually kind of a nanny to her brother and sister-in-law. Right. Yeah.
Is that what she does?
No, she's finishing up her hours for marriage family therapist.
All right.
Yeah, all right. So what, she's very close to...
All right, what's the question?
Okay, here's the question.
Have you ever spoken to her on this show?
No, I've never spoken to her on it.
Now, have we ever spoken?
We haven't.
Oh, no, you haven't. I'm sorry. You
okay.
Haven't.
All right. So I know where Rick's at because I've been there.
Well, here's the deal. I mm-hmm. bought a very expensive ring while I was in Thailand. Mm-hmm. I actually had a few of the girls that were on our trip, you know, one of the things is they bring you to every jewelry store in town to try to, you know, get you to buy stuff, and they provide buses and stuff like that. So while I was there, of course, you know, we're at one of the jewelry stores, and I looked at, of course, diamond rings, and ended up buying the second most expensive one that they had there. The most expensive was $60,000. So I didn't go that route. I only went $6,000.
Yeah, okay. Still too much. But yeah, two months salary. Yeah.
Do I want to give her the ring as a gift and just, you know, like a present?
No.
Or do I just eat it and hold on to it for when it's right?
Do not give it to her as a present.
Yeah.
This is going to send a mixed message, and it'll be disappointing if it's labeled as a present.
Diamond rings are not just gifts.
Not to women that are chomping at the bit to get married.
That is at best a promise to engage.
Okay, so, Rick.
Yes.
Here's what I think you need to do.
Okay.
Because I was recently in this position myself. You need to decide, are you going to be with this woman or not?
Right, period.
Period.
And if you're going to be with her, it's time to get
then
going.
Put her and yourself out of your misery and just go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
And if you don't think you're going to do it, so you can get married and not have kids for a couple of years.
She definitely wants children. And
well, she wants children, but she's 27 and she can have them when she's 29.
Yeah, but she's telling me that I'm going to get to the point where they're going to be in high school and I'm going to be in my 60s. So
yeah, look, here's the thing. I mean, you can discuss these hesitations that you have as far as getting married with her or to her, I should say. You know what I mean? I mean, you can tell her, look, I don't mind getting married, but I'm not ready to start a family for a couple of years.
Yeah.
That's what you call compromise.
Yeah.
And I bet she would be down with that.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
If that's that's what's going to get her to the altar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, good times.
Yeah, good times.
There we go.
I'm curious about this guy and his frequent trips to Bangkok. And
all over the world.
He's very casual about it.
Yeah.
He leads adventure trips.
Yeah.
How do you stumble into this? Do you got to speak the language? How's this get going? And your plumbing contractor? How's this work? I'm attracted to this, Rick. Rick.
Yeah, talk to me.
You and I could really start a life together.
Well, I'm telling you know what, Adam? I work 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work my butt off, and it's just something that I hooked up with a buddy of mine that... you know, runs an adventure travel, a lot of ski trips, a lot of adventure trips, and, you know, I enjoy doing that. Obviously, I don't make money doing it because I'm just helping him out. He's the one that makes the money.
I see.
I basically get a free trip out of it, but, you know, I can afford to.
And you go all over the world?
Not quite all over the world, but more foreign countries than, you know, in America.
Huh.
Costa Rica, I was just in Peru just a month before Thailand.
Interesting.
But, you know, it doesn't happen every week. It doesn't happen every month.
Mm-hmm.
A few times a year for me, that's all.
All right. Well, the party's over. But,
it sounds like it's either over.
Don't look at death. Look at marriage as death.
The way you and I did?
I looked at marriage as death for my entire life. And then after being married, I realized it's a coma. It's not death. Look at this purgatory.
Purgatory? Oh,
no, it really isn't. It isn't technically death, but it's a mild coma. Nothing wrong with a little coma. And listen, we could all use a break. True, you could go for a nice coma, couldn't you?
That would be nice.
A couple months.
Coma and fries, yeah.
Lose a little weight. Just relax. Put on some slippers. Crap in a bag. Unwind and let the day go by. You know what I mean?
Yeah, good times.
Just step off that hamster wheel for a minute. Get into a coma. Just lie there. Have someone clean you with a sponge.
Feed you with a tube.
People come by. You become like, you just become some altar that people worship at. You know, people just come by, adorn you with flowers, and they bathe you, and they cry, and they talk to you. It's great. Be like when we fly together.
Oh.
I talk to you, you just sit there and stare at the ceiling.
Yeah, but I'll be in a coma. It'll be great.
I know, but it'll be the same response for me.
Well, yeah.
I'll come in, and I'll go, Drew.
By the way, we never fly together anymore. What's with that?
I know you can't hear me, buddy, but it's goddamn garbage, man. And I start ranting for a while. And then you start to wake from your coma, and you see I'm there ranting, so you go back into a fake coma. You fake a coma.
Doesn't ring true for me. You got to start talking about your mom.
Then close the eyes again.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Mark, 29. Girlfriend has a history of abuse. Daddy issues. Shocking. After this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. Yeah. That's right. Let's get back to the phones, Drew, because that's our bread and butter on this show. Without you callers, we're nothing.
Huh.
That's right. And callers like Mark, who's 29. Mark?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Love you guys.
What's up, Mark?
It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Listen, I've been dating this girl for about 2.5 months now. And she's had some bad relationships in the recent past. One guy she dated for about 4 years, cheated on her, and was, I suspect, abusive. She hasn't confirmed that, but when we started dating, she mentioned that she wanted to take things really slow. Well, after about a month and a half, I started to have feelings for her, and it got to the point where I felt like we were getting relatively close. Well, one night when we were out, she mentioned to me that she wasn't ready to get romantically involved, and that she, you know, felt we were going too fast, but she also said that that I was everything she was looking for in a guy.
Oh, boy.
And that she wanted to see it through and see where it went. Well, ever since then, when we're out, things are very awkward and she's very standoffish. And I'm wondering what the right move is to make from here, because I'm getting mixed signals. You know what I mean?
Half Nelson, followed by the pile driver.
Does she always talk about you're such a nice guy?
Yeah, she says that, and that she likes me, but...
You're the guy she's supposed to like.
And she's trying.
Yeah, she can't quite do it.
Okay, well, let me write this down a little here, get some information. How old is she?
32.
32. Has she been married?
No, no kids.
No kids, no marriage. But bad relationships, abusive dad?
I don't know about abusive, but I know he's never really been a big part of her life ever since she was about 4 or 5 years old.
Uh-huh. Okay. I like to start calling that abusive, by the way.
Yeah,
I'd concur.
Yeah, because it's abandonment. And for men, you know, when you abandon your son, it's not a great thing. But for a woman, I really do think it falls under the category of abuse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I mean, it's certainly, if you almost sort of define the abuse by the long-term effects that the victims suffer from it,
right.
This would meet that criteria.
Absolutely.
Okay,
so you've been with her for how long?
About 2.5 months now, ever since the 1st of October.
And what's the furthest it's gotten physically?
I haven't taken it there just because...
Yeah, but where? Have you been kissing?
Yeah. Yes, we've made out a little bit, but nothing physical, no touching, anything like that, because she wants to take it slow, and I wanted to respect that.
Well, she's 30. Sorry for yawning, but I got up at... I was supposed to get up at 3:30. I got up at 4:45 this morning, but she's 32.
Right.
Taking it slow, 2.5 months, couple of adults, there's issues.
Right. The fact that you feel so skittish around here that you have to handle her with kid gloves like this, that's saying something.
It really feels like I'm walking on eggshells.
Right.
There's a reason for
that. Yes,
I mean,
yes.
I just don't know. I don't know where to go from here because I really like her.
She must be very hot.
Is she attractive?
Yeah.
Very.
She's got that on you.
Yeah.
Is she, now do you guys, how often do you see her?
It's usually once or twice a week. You know, she's pretty
busy. This is bad.
Do you think? Do you? I do too. Start feel kittens in my stomach.
Yes, right.
Well, actually, maybe that's the diarrhea. The brown kittens. Interesting. Yeah, I gave birth to a litter of them.
You're spinning a yarn. You're getting more involved, and in the meantime, you're just walking on eggshells with this woman who, God knows, probably seeing other guys. That'd be my bet.
I kind of suspected that as well.
Yeah, that's what I bet. So,
do you think, I mean, if we called her up right now, would she say that you are her boyfriend? Or would she say you're a guy she's seeing?
She would say that I'm a guy she's seeing.
Yeah,
right.
And that she's still tied up with some other guy. Some other chaotic, crazy guy.
I hate to agree with Drew, but I don't even, to me, it's not even the issue. It's more that she just can't commit to you.
I think there's another problem here too, because the guy that left her, the 4 year guy, she actually works with this person.
Oh yeah, he's still
not
in the
directly.
Picture.
Nope,
still in the picture, guaranteed.
You think so?
Well, yep. I'll tell you the problem too, and why? Because she is not having sex with you, and that's the reason she's not having sex with you, because she has some moral compass and would not be able to justify screwing two guys simultaneously.
No.
Well, I haven't really pressed the issue, though. You know what I mean?
The reason you have it is because you know the chaos that's there. You know what the reactions are going to be.
Drew, what's wrong with my moral compass theory?
It's not a moral compass. It's he's too nice,
and she can
only be sexual with guys she doesn't like.
Yeah.
But couldn't this be a situation where she finally finds a nice guy that she thinks she could like?
Yes.
Checking out a little bit because kind of a sabotage type thing.
Yes, that's what she's doing.
Whatever it is.
It is what it is, though.
It cannot be stopped. It is bigger than the three of us.
Okay, is there anything I should do?
Here's all you can do. And here's all anyone can do in any relationship. First off, you got to play by the sane one's rules. You understand? This is what happens. Sane people, like young Mark here, get caught up with screwy people, like the girl he's trying to screw, and they end up playing by their rules. And now you have the rules of a mad person, which means there's no up, there's no down, there's no left, there's no right. They're only my screwy rules that are based on whatever the whim is and whatever my gut is. So you have to be man enough and or woman enough, depending on whatever the application is and whoever's listening, to say, look, here's what I need. Here's what I want. There's a real good chance that person's going to walk. But that's fine because you weren't getting what you wanted anyway, and you weren't going to get it.
That's right.
And sometimes it's the only thing to snap them out is a little tough love. Although, if she commits then, there's going to be trouble down the road.
Oh, man, is there.
Mark, you step up. You tell her, this is not what I want. This thing has to move forward or it dies. It's like a shark. This is what I say to my ladies. This relationship, it's like a shark. It either moves forward or it dies, or it's like one of those nurse sharks that just sits on the bottom. I think it's sand shark. Sand shark. Yeah.
California Blues.
Well, no, like the sand shark that just sort of nestles at the bottom and buries itself in sand. That's me. That's a nurse shark. Yeah. That's the kind of shark I am, baby.
Yeah.
I like to bury myself in sand at the bottom of the ocean.
A Corolla coma shark.
And pretend I'm dead. Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm a shark that way.
Sherelle?
You're 28?
We hear you. There she is. Here she comes.
Hello?
Hello?
Sherelle?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hey. What can we do for you?
Well,
I'm listening for the smoke alarms.
Yes. Hey. I have this problem, and I want you all to give me some kind of advice on it.
All right.
I've been dating this guy for like a year and a half. Yes. Before we met, he used to go out partying all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed in the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, since we've been together, he's changed. He works two jobs. And I know there's no doubt that he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
But the only problem we have was the girl that he used to date before me. And she ended up pregnant, like, right after we got together.
Right.
Oh, he swears it's not his because, you know, he met her in the club and they just dated. That's all it was. It was just dating.
Sure, you can't have sex with anyone you meet in a club.
Or date.
Yeah.
Or date.
They just dated. He said they went out a couple times. They met at the club. That's all it was. I guess that was the date.
All right.
But he says that was nothing, you know. But now she's saying that she had the baby. She was pregnant. Now she done had the baby.
What's the question?
Okay. He tells me that, you know, the baby isn't his, and I don't know what to believe, and I don't know whether I want to just commit completely to this guy.
Well, what does she say?
She says it's his.
Well, is she going to try to prove paternity?
No, she's not.
Why not?
Hold on a second. I'm picturing, by the way, when I speak to Shirley, I'm picturing Cicely Tyson from the movie Sounder.
Sounder, yes.
Picture like smoking like a corn cob pipe and wearing something knitted. Shirley?
Yes.
Are you wearing anything that's knitted?
No.
All right. Well,
no.
Okay.
All right. Well, listen, if she is pushing the issue, she must prove paternity. And if it is his child, he has at least a financial responsibility.
Okay.
So there you go.
But if you find out it's his, I mean, look, if she's going to make the allegation that it's his child, then he has to submit to a paternity test. And if he will not submit to paternity test,
that
implies a certain degree of guilt.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, if this guy gets people pregnant, you may want to be careful about that.
Yeah.
Shirley, you having sex with him?
Yes, we are.
Are you using any kind of protection?
Not now.
Why not?
Hold on a second.
Shocking. Why not?
Because we've been together for like a year and a half, and, you know, I was virtually saying that no, but, you know.
Do you want to have a kid with this guy?
I mean, he's the perfect gentleman.
You want to have a kid with him?
No, I don't. I mean, not
right now. Get on birth control.
You got to get on birth control then, Shirley. Do you have any other kids?
No, I don't.
All right, just get on the pill.
Okay, and you're going to have to, they're going to have to, I don't trust him either. Perfect gentleman. You're going to have to, this guy's going to have to submit to a paternity test, or you will not believe him. That's it, everybody. Yeah, that's how it all works.
Yep.
We'll be back. Well, where does the time go, Drew?
Just when it's you and I here, it just flies by.
Mm. Hi, buddy.
Hi.
Nice work tonight, huh?
Good times.
All right. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Dizzle for chisel, dizzle.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.